Today, we'd like to see the title of As Many As You Have Given Him in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 26. To another word, Saul, through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest that the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 2, As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2, in verse 17, Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Last question in verse 23, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. What does it mean, and what to learn, and how to apply it to our lives are here. In the last time in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus makes sure he has spoken many things, in which you may have peace in Jesus who defeated Satan, that fraudulently possesses the world by his resurrection. And so be cheerful or joyful even in persecution, and you may rebuke the devil in Jesus' name, and then the devil would flee from you. John 14:23, James 4:7. Now the entire chapter 17 is that Jesus is praying to God the Father for, number one, himself in verses 1 to 5, number two, his disciples in verses 6 to 19, and number three, all believers in verses 26. Here, 1 to 5, a prayer for himself. Jesus spoke those words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Jesus was looking for the heaven and praying to God the Father about the coming hour, glorifying Jesus, the Son of God, and glorifying God by Jesus. The coming hour was Jesus' death on the cross, the feast of the Passover, called as Good Friday in 33 AD. That is God the Father's personal calling to Jesus for the sins of all the people, God's purpose. That Jesus, full obedience to God the Father, glorified God the Father. God the Father rose Jesus from the dead. 40 days later, God the Father brought God the Father brought Jesus up into heaven in his glory, ascension. God glorified Jesus. Here, Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension are inseparable consequences. Jesus previously stated his hour has not yet come. God loved all the people or the world, not vice versa. giving his only begotten Son for everyone's salvation upon faith. That proves, shows, and demonstrates God's own love toward all of us. So, God may give us a lot of gifts freely or abundant grace to all believers unless we refuse them. Jesus glorified God the Father on the earth by the death on the cross. Now Jesus has been glorified at the right hand of God as of the ascension, as Stephen gazed into heaven. All cross reference right here, you may read them. And verse 2, as you have given him authority of all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. God the Father has given Jesus all authority in heaven on earth. So all believers, as many as God has given, Jesus should have eternal life, should have eternal life only in Jesus. God wants no one should perish, but all should come to repentance. Any believer never will be cast out by Jesus. God created people, giving free will, each one during certain times. God would not violate each free will gift. Adam's case, while you are with him, the Lord is with you. That is, while you are not with him, the Lord is not with you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. God knows all things, including how each person will exercise the free will. So God foreknew and predestined each believer to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus. All cross reference right here. That is question one. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The believers may know, number one, God the Father is the only true God, and number two, Jesus Christ has been sent by God the Father. Without knowing Jesus Christ, you may not know the only true God, not having eternal life. There are many gods. The God may be defined in many ways. In the Longman Dictionary, it is defined as God is a being, one of many, which is worshipped as one who made or rules over a part of the life of the world. For example, Zeus, God of the sky, Poseidon, God of the sea, Ares, God of war, Apollo, God of the sun, Athena, goddess of wisdom, Eros, God of fleshly love, Hades, God of the underworld, Psyche, goddess of the soul, Venus, Aphrodite, Ashtoreth, goddess of fertility, Baal, God of fertility and rain, or agriculture's knowledge. Mammon, God of money or material wealth, Molech, God of pleasure, and so on. To worship is to express deep love and honor, so that whatever you love more than or equal to only true God, Yahweh, is an idol. It means all the other gods are false. First of all, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus' personal calling from God the Father was to be propitiation for our sins. By giving up his spirit or committing his spirit on the cross, his work was to be finished. By this full obedience to God the Father to the point of death, even the death of the cross, he glorified God the Father. That's a cross reference right here. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Before things were created, Jesus in the form of God was with God in heaven in his glory. Jesus prayed to God to raise him up from the dead and to let him ascend to the heaven in his glory. That is a cross reference right here. 6-7, prayer for his original disciples. I have manifested your name to the man whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Jesus is asking now about the disciples who have been revealed God's name. See in verse 11, by Jesus. And who have kept God's word in this fellowship between God the Father and the Son. Verse 7, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. The disciples began to realize this fellowship between the Father and the Son. Whatever belongs to the Father belonged to the Son. Whatever belongs to the Son belonged to the Father. Verse 8, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Jesus had given his disciples the words given by God, on which Jesus came from God, and they have believed the words. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus keeps on praying now for his disciples who has been given by God, the owner of them, not for others. Verse 10, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to God, vice versa too. Jesus is glorified by his disciples being just like Jesus. For example, ambassador for Christ. So Christ is glorified by the ambassador. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus is asking God to keep his disciples in the world through God's name, or the Lord's name, which is either Yahweh or Jehovah pronounced for understanding purpose, even if the name of only Hebrew consonant is not able to pronounce. See the attached below. The name Jesus in English or Yeshua in the Hebrew is a shortened form of Yahweh Shewa, which means Yahweh is salvation. So Jesus, the name, includes God's name. Have we fled in death then? When I see danger approaching, I say, O Jesus, help, the strong tower, safe place. And Jesus is asking that the disciples may be one in the fellowship between the Father and the Son. The cross-reference was right there. Also, bottom line, you attach it, you may see, you know, Yahweh as the explanation detail. So basically, NLT, the original Yahweh, pronounced Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, the book of Exodus 34:6, I am slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Therefore, without the scripture or the word of God, we would not know God's name, because the Bible, scripture said God's name spelled out. And so David composed, for you have magnified your word above all your name, in Psalm 103:8-2. So in Christianity, unlike other religions, without the scripture, we would not know God, Jesus, the Supreme, love, or faith. Faith is, how do you know faith? Faith is hearing by the word of God. So as the word was God, and all authority is given to Jesus, nobody is allowed to alter the word of God or the truth. So who can be against God? Practically against the scriptures. Then verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus kept his disciples given by God, except Judas Iscariot, who fulfilled the prophetic psalm, my unfamiliar friend against me in the scripture, called as the son of God or devil. The son of perdition is also referred to the Antichrist by disciple Paul. But Jesus referred son of perdition or devil, referred to Judas Iscariot. Verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The source of joy is Jesus Christ. The joy is a type of agape love, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. The joy is one of the best gifts when you are in Jesus. You may be joyful even in tribulation. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. The disciples are hated by the world because they do not belong to the world, which doesn't know the word that God sent Jesus in verse 8. Whoever persecutes or kills you, like Saul, before Paul the Apostle's conversion, thinks that he offers God's service, because he doesn't know God the Father, nor Jesus the Son. The cross reference right there. 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Jesus is praying to God for his disciples as the salt and light in the great wickedness of the world, like the days of Noah. Actually, worse times than then, today. To be kept from the evil one by God. So cross references right here. Verses 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Disciples does not belong to the world, as Jesus doesn't belong to the world, even if they are in the world. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That is a question too. They are inseparable consequence among positional salvation, sanctification, and glorification. Upon their face in verse 8, like a position of salvation upon their face in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they grow by growing faith in every word of God, more like Jesus, called as a sanctification. Until moving in the heaven in his glory, called as a glorification. So we confess daily through Jesus the high priest, or in Jesus' name, more like Jesus, until last breath or his return. Cross reference right there. Verse 18, 19. As you sent me in the world, I also have sent them into the world. As for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The sent disciples into the world may become more like Jesus by the truth, which is the word of God. 20 up to 26, prayer for all believers. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus is now praying to God for all believers who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, through the word of God delivered by his disciples. That's a cross-reference, Great Commissions right there. Their word, which means their teaching word. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is praying that they may also be one in the fellowship between God the Father and the Son, as his disciples does so in verse 11. And so that the world may believe that God the Father sent Jesus the Son in verse 8, as his disciples believe. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Jesus is willing to share his glory with you as an inheritor or a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Every believer will inherit the kingdom of heaven in his glory forever at either last breath or his return. Becoming one in the fellowship between God the Father and the Son. That's a close reference right there. Verse 23, question 3. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. When all the believers are one in the fellowship between God the Father and the Son, they may be made perfect in one body. Then the world may observe and know that God the Father has sent the Son. All the believers have loved each other as God the Father has loved Jesus. Jesus never wants to make a division of the one body, but to unite all together in agape love, the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, all diversities may be in harmony of the one body of Christ by the Spirit. Note, it's one holy universal church, the group of believers on the earth, not an holy ecumenical church, nor a corruptible building. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Again, in the place where Jesus now sits on the right hand of God in his glory, Jesus wants us to behold his glory with the agape love with which the Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world. Peter, James, and John experienced his glory at his transfiguration, like at Mount Tabor. That's a cross reference right here. Last verse 25-26. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. As Jesus has known the righteous God the Father, all the believers have known the God the Father who sent Jesus the Son. Jesus declared to them the name of God within Jesus' name, the agape love in them, and Jesus in them. Without Jesus, you wouldn't know God, so you wouldn't know the agape love with which God the Father loved Jesus. Believers may be in God the Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, because agape love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's a cross reference right here. So we already covered all three questions. Continue to keep on biblical reference to Paul's footsteps. You know, that's the purpose for education and evangelism. So three countries covered: Italy, Greece, and Turkey. So disciple is most of the books in New Testament, almost 50%, 13 books written by disciple Paul. So we are seeing, you know, that is how Holy Spirit work through disciple Paul there. So right here is the good news information right there. So you may check its website. So they are English track, Spanish track, Italian track, and the Greek track, and the Turkish track, so all five of them there. So continue to keep on praying for them. God bless you.